This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Today, back at it with a candidate for governor. On with us again, a former Democratic State Senator, now a non-affiliated candidate for governor, Betsy Johnson. Thanks for being on today.
Thank you for having me.
So, overall, how do you feel like the campaign is going right now?
Well, I think the campaign's going great. We just came back from the Pendleton Roundup. We were in a huge parade and got a very warm and enthusiastic reception. Now, of course, the bases have consolidated their Democrats and their Republicans. What we're looking at is a huge pool of undecided, non-affiliated voters that we think are voters that want to hear our message and are interested in exactly the tenets of this election, which is to bring the parties together, stop the fighting, stop talking about stuff, and go do stuff, fix things. And so we're reaching out to that group. We're upping our campaign plan to reach out to those people. You know, what I find so interesting about this campaign is how kind of disingenuous it is. I have to say this because I'm so insulted by Christine Drazen's new ad that talks about how career politicians are rotten to the core. She forgets to mention that she has been in and around the legislature since 1995. She's been there 6 years longer than I have, mostly as a paid lobbyist and as part of a staffer. So she's been paid to be in and around the legislature, and I take considerable umbrage to the fact that she's talking about, you know, career politicians like her two opponents. She's been a paid person in the Oregon legislature since 1995. I just wish she'd be straight about it and not so insulting when she suggests that somehow we're rotten to the core. But anyway, I deviated from your question. I think the race is going well. We're working hard, hard, hard. Had events on Sunday that were voter engagement events. I've been at it since 7:30 this morning. And we've got the whole team engaged, and we're working very, very hard to try to elect me governor to get our beloved Oregon fixed.
Now, both sides seem to be devoting a lot of resources to the race, so the Democrats, Republicans. So as a non-affiliated candidate, how do you compete with all the sort of built-in infrastructure that each party brings to the table?
Well, we're doing this the hard way. I admit it. I don't have that built-in infrastructure. But we're appealing to real Oregonians. We have, you know, almost 6,000 donors, and they're Oregonians. They're not the institutional Democrats and the institutional Republicans who write Tina and Christine million-dollar checks. The people that are contributing to my campaign are grassroots Oregonians. So they have their built-in partisan bases. Our base is Oregonians. And that way I can proudly say, I'm not a D, I'm not an R, I'm an O. And we're continuing to raise money from the kind of people that create jobs and opportunity throughout our state, from ordinary Oregonians, from dairymen to cattlemen to wheat growers, vintners. But if you look at our contribution list from, you know, one guy sent me $5. That's as meaningful as the guys that are writing six and seven figure checks. So we're working hard, and I'm very pleased to say that the message that we're sharing with people that love this state and want to rescue it from the partisan gridlock that we're in are responding with very generous checks, and I am humbled and gratified and beyond appreciative.
What are the top issues in the race that are driving this effort?
Well, what I'm hearing everywhere I go is homelessness, crime, and drugs. And they all are interrelated in various and sundry ways. Certainly, you guys down in Southern Oregon know that the drug situation is completely out of control. And when Tina pushed to pass ballot measure 110, I campaigned against it. I voted against it. I think Oregonians got sold a bill of goods. We functionally legalized hard drugs like fentanyl and meth and cocaine and OxyContin. And that is driving street crime, and it is integrally linked to homelessness. So that we've got people now with the potent witch's brew of drugs that are available in many of the outdoor drug markets throughout Portland, accelerating their mental deterioration because this current crop of drugs is so pernicious and so lethal and so powerful that some of them, especially fentanyl, can functionally create brain disorders. So that's what I'm hearing about. People don't feel safe on the streets. They're terrified of crime. Kate's commutations of rapists and murderers has turned a whole cohort of people, maybe 1,000 people that are violent criminals, out of our prisons and onto our already dangerous streets. I've just met the mother of a woman who was murdered by a 17-year-old who got a very stern sentence. This 17-year-old went back, killed his pregnant girlfriend, stabbed her repeatedly, went back to see if she was dead. She wasn't, and so he took out a shovel and beat her to death with a shovel. And Kate Brown let that guy out of prison. When I'm governor, that stuff will stop. So there are a plethora of other issues. People are worried about our K-12 education system deteriorating. They're worried about funding for police. I just had 90 law enforcement professionals endorse me that include the last four superintendents of the Oregon State Patrol, a bunch of DEA agents, more than half of the DAs in the state. I would take their endorsement as working law enforcement professionals over a visiting governor from Maryland any day of the week. So we're hearing about lots of stuff, but I would have to say on a pyramid, homelessness, crime, and drugs that are all interrelated, and they certainly drive mental health problems. That's what we hear about everywhere.
After so much time in public service, a lot of people are ready to retire. Why go the opposite direction and launch this effort?
Because I love this state. I don't want to see it sink any farther than it has deteriorated already. I'm a native Oregonian. I grew up in Central Oregon. And you're right, I'm of retirement age. But my mother went to the office every day until the last 2 months when she died at age 93. I think there's a workhorse DNA in me, but mostly it's my love for Oregon, and I just couldn't see it deteriorate anymore without giving it a fight, and that's what we're doing. And as we've already talked about, we're doing it the hard way. We're creating our base out of regular Oregonians, not the partisan politics. But I just decided I couldn't be a bystander to the deterioration and decay of a place I loved.
If you are elected, your first 30 days in office, what would your priorities be?
Well, I would start on November the 9th, and I would begin by convening people to talk about homelessness and problems in Portland. Now, let me be very clear about that. I believe that Oregon cannot succeed if Portland fails, and Portland is failing by every measure. We want to fight about everything. We want to fight about where to build housing, how to build housing, what kind of housing. I would convene law enforcement, mental health experts, addiction specialists, social service guys, and say, let's stop fighting. Let's get an action plan. This useless talking isn't doing anything. Let's get some deliverables. Let's get the right people who are accountable assigned to deliver those deliverables. And if those people can't do it, let's get new people. So I would start on November the 9th by doing that. The new governor gets to write a budget, and I would begin convening people with expertise in the state's budget. I have a fair amount of expertise because I've been on Ways and Means my entire legislative career, but I would want to gather folks and begin to put together a governor's budget that prioritized what rural Oregon needs. You guys down in Jackson, Josephine, and Douglas County need more public safety money to fight the cartels and to work on the negative effects that drugs are creating in your communities. So we build a budget, and then moving farther forward, I'd want to do a review of all of the agencies. What things do they have in the hopper that are going to blow up and be on the front page of the Oregonian, like the unemployment situation did? I'd want to have a conversation with all of the agency heads, many of whom I think have not been paying attention to business, or they have allowed their bureaucrats in the agency to stretch the definition of what the legislature gave permission for the executive branch to do. I'd want to know how many rules are being written right now and what's the status of those rules. I'd want to repeal some of the executive orders that the governor has put in place. I'd want to get a baseline for our kids to find out how much they've deteriorated after 2 years of forced isolation from COVID that I think was an overreaction on the part of Governor Brown. I'd want to know what damage have we done by virtue of the social, emotional, mental health, and academic deprivation that they've had by being locked out of the schools. My problem is that I'd have a very aggressive to-do list, and it would be all hands on deck starting the morning after the election. I'd begin getting policy advisors who are issue subject matter experts, not political toadies and people that are rewarded for their politics. I want people that know what the hell they're talking about to begin guiding the governor's office and state agency towards having responsive, productive, urgent, timely response from government.
All right.
That's kind of a sample.
More with Bessie Johnson when we come back. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1 this afternoon. And former state senator, candidate for Governor Bessie Johnson on with us talking about what she would do if in office. What about the next legislative session in 2023? What kind of priorities would you have for lawmakers as they reconvene in Salem?
Well, certainly to address what you just asked me about, homelessness, crime, and drugs. The new governor gets to write a budget, and I would make sure that that budget reflected the priorities of rural Oregon, and I would work to be a cheerleader to get those bills passed that help rural places. I also would be an aggressive advocate for bipartisan support. I mean, just imagine with me for a second what Oregon would be like if there was a governor who said, I'm not going to sign a bill into law. I'm not going to sign a budget into law. I'm not going to make an appointment to a border commission without bipartisan support. It would absolutely transform the way that we do business in this state. I think there's going to be a fair amount of defense that's going to have to be played by rural places in the 23 session. There's a whole cohort of brand new House members. And there'll be some changes in the Senate. For the first time in my memory, Peter Courtney is not going to be at the presidential podium. And so there's going to be a fair amount of defense. Just remember that right now throughout Oregon, there are candidates standing on somebody's front porch promising the sun and the moon and the stars. And they're going to want to come into the 2023 legislative session and deliver the sun, the moon, and the stars. And so I think that as governor, I would be vigilant in making sure that we had bipartisan support for bills, the best ideas from the R's and the D's. Nobody has the high moral ground on having the best ideas. And I would absolutely demand that every table set for negotiation includes R's and D's.
Now, are there challenges to governing the R's and D's without having a party behind you?
Oh, sure there are. But that's why God made veto pens. I think it confers tremendous leverage on a non-affiliated governor to not have to deliver for a partisan agenda or a partisan ideology. I'm not an R, I'm not a D, I'm an O. And I think being freed up from having to ride for the brand matters. And so at my age and with a 20-year track record of legislation dragging around behind me, I'm not running right now to be Miss Congeniality. I would have absolutely no qualms about vetoing legislation that I thought hurt rural economies or hardworking rural Oregonians. So, there are going to be challenges. I absolutely agree with the premise of your question, but I see it more as an opportunity to force people to work together rather than this constant fighting. Oregonians are sick of it, and I think secretly a lot of the elected people are sick of it. They'd like permission to work in consort with their colleagues across the aisle. And they need a governor who values that, who doesn't punish and yell at him for acting in a bipartisan way. So I think there are challenges. I acknowledge those, but I think there are much richer opportunities.
What are your plans to work with the federal level regarding forestry changes, forestry land management, those kinds of areas?
Well, I know most of our delegation, although we now have some possible new people coming into the legislature. I actually know them, too, with the new district that was created for the House. And so I don't have to build relationships. I've already got them. And I would want to talk to the feds about their horrible land management of a huge percentage of Oregon. They are not good neighbors, and fire doesn't care whether it's starting on state land, private land, or federal land. I think the federal lands are particularly vulnerable because they haven't been cared for in a long time. I would want to harmonize our response to fire. Oregon has an earned reputation of doing what's called initial attack really well. We hit a fire hard when it's first identified. We don't wait until it's 40,000 acres before we send in equipment and air assets and boots on the ground. I would work with our private sector people to know that when they're contributing equipment and personnel to fight fire, that they're valued for that contribution. There are all kinds of things that we can do with respect to land management and forest management. We need to thin. We need to commercially burn. We need to increase harvest in some cases. We need to cut salvage lumber and trees and replant as quickly as we can. So those are just a handful of the things that I would be an active and aggressive advocate for.
For the last few decades, we've heard periodically about this urban-rural divide in Oregon. How do you get past that and create one Oregon again?
Well, first of all, you have efficient state government. Answer the damn phone and serve Oregonians. Do it with Oregonians, not to Oregonians. Secondly, Governor Johnson would make sure that the rural guys had a place at the table and that the policies that come out of Salem are geared to trying to unite us rather than divide us. Being over in Eastern Oregon this last weekend, I'm very aware of how disrespected and disenfranchised and frankly just PO'd people south of Eugene and east of Bend are. They feel like they haven't been heard. They feel like Salem just sends them whatever Salem feels like sending them, that Salem has messed around in practically every aspect of their economic lives, and they just had a tummy full of it. So I think getting a few wins for rural Oregon, whether it's recruiting business, retaining businesses, it's making them feel heard and included, it's making sure that their policy and budget priorities are built into budgets and have a fighting chance of making it through the legislature. I mean, right now, bills are killed not because of the merits of the bill, but they're killed by the Democratic majority because it's a Republican bill. We got to knock that off. That's what helps cause Oregonians to believe that we're one Oregon again. And we need to have that maverick feeling that we're all proud of, that Oregon is a special place for a variety of reasons, none the least of which is all perspectives, R and D, are included in building out the laws that govern our beautiful state.
Yeah, to go through a lengthy process, petition signature-wise, to get on the ballot, obviously that was successful. But what kinds of things did you learn about the about Oregon, maybe, during and Oregonians during the process of gathering all those signatures?
I learned that they're hungry for change. I learned that they're eager to explore the notion of a nonpartisan governor who isn't beholden to the agenda or the ideology of a party versus another party. I've heard from them that they're sick of politicians just fighting. I've heard that they want to have R's and D's work together. I mean, I think about some of the things that Oregonians are particularly proud of, and they represent bipartisan compromise. So I heard a lot of pent-up frustration about, we got to fix this. I've heard of way too many Oregonians that are our entrepreneurs, our innovators, that have already given up on the state. And if I were Kate Brown and I knew that 13 counties wanted to leave the Oregon family for Greater Idaho, and 8 of them have actually voted to do that, I would do anything humanly possible to make sure that their concerns were addressed and redressed, and that they were once again included in what we define as the Oregon family. We have got to stop driving companies out of here by our horrible regulatory process and how expensive it is to live here.
All right, out of time for now. We'll talk again soon. Candidate for Governor Betsy Johnson, thanks for being on today.
Thanks for having me. Invite me back.
All right, you bet. 1258 Kyle Bailey on Inside Douglas County News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.